we want to talk about access to early cancer detection, but particularly in low-income areas, people who don't necessarily have access to medical insurance or medical aid, people who go and use public healthcare facilities. But as we know, we have a public healthcare sector which is under stress, it is under pressure, long queues and waiting lists. And so therefore, preventative healthcare in South Africa in general, but in low-income areas particularly, is an issue that needs to come under our radar. So we've asked Abida Steenkamp to join us in studio. She is a service community org coordinator. She too is a breast cancer survivor, and she's worked with the Cancer Association of South Africa to raise awareness around self-screening and early cancer detection. Abida, thanks so much for joining us. Really appreciate it. The story that I conveyed is sadly an all too common occurrence, particularly for people who don't have medical insurance, who largely rely on a public healthcare system. Preventative healthcare in South Africa is very poor, but when you bring in the statistics around cancer and cancer detection, those statistics then become very, very scary. Good morning.
Good morning to everyone. Yes, indeed, Lester. As you stated, there are long queues and waiting lists at the nearest day hospitals and your clinics within the area. Obviously, cancer also offers free screening. You can contact your local cancer office, and the number is 0800226622. I'll give it to you afterwards again.
We'll reflect it towards the end of the show.
There are lots of wellness days coming up, so people are welcome to attend that. It's free of charge throughout South Africa because, you know, those exhibitions and days are starting. But sadly, in terms of the low-income areas, often people leave it when it's too late because it's, I know there's something wrong, but I don't want to know. So a lot has to do with going out there and educating the public. You know, please take care, do self-examinations, you know, go for regular checkups, especially if you're over the age of 30.
I use the example of myself in that I'm privileged to have medical insurance. I am on a medical aid. I get all the notifications. I have the free screenings, I think once a year. I can make an appointment right now, send a message or go onto a website on my phone and book an appointment. I can go to the doctor right now, immediately after the show. And that is the privilege of being medically insured. I know that for many people who don't have medical insurance, who have to about whether it is worth it or not to go queue outside the clinic from 5 o'clock this morning simply because they don't know, something may be off, but they don't know. I could understand why many people who have to make the option of, make the decision of whether or not they go queue at a clinic in the morning, maybe miss a day's work and therefore miss a day's wages. Or simply say, I'll put it off, I'll get to it. It may not even be serious. I'll get to it eventually. I understand some of the decisions that many people have to make.
Yeah, but we would certainly encourage, you know, to especially the women out there, you know, if you don't have the time to take a day off, go and visit your GP over the weekend. If he does an examination and he feels you need to be referred, there's a WhatsApp on his phone that he can make an appointment for you at Groote or Tigerberg Hospital.
Tell me your story. You have you are someone who has lived with breast cancer.
Yes.
Are you in remission? What? Tell us your story of your journey through cancer.
Okay. I was diagnosed 13 years ago. I just felt a numbness in my arm. And I went to my local GP. He's thinking that, you know, maybe because I'm often on the computer, you know, gave me antibiotics for that. Didn't go away. And then one morning I just felt a sort of a under my arm, in my armpit, a little lump. And I went back to the GP and I said, oh, you know, I'm sure you can just take a needle and, you know, that would be the end of it. And he said, no, I'm sending you for mammogram. And I said, but, you know, I've just been for one 3 months ago. I wasn't aware that some women have dense breast tissue and it's not, you know, picked up when you have a normal mammogram. So I would certainly encourage women, if they do have medical aid insurance, you know, go for an ultrasound also, because it's only with the ultrasound that it was picked up. When it was picked up, it was two small tumors, but it was very aggressive and it, you know, had gone under the lymph nodes, and they had to remove seven lymph nodes, five of which had cancer. So I had a right breast mastectomy, followed by 6 months of chemo and then 3 weeks of radiation. But the most important thing that I learned from my journey was to be positive, to embrace the journey, you know, and to inspire hope and not give up.
I often, and as someone, we probably have no one in South Africa through from family connections or friends who've not been exposed to cancer. We've all been affected. But I sometimes, I ponder on the words that we use. Cancer survivor. When someone passes away, we talk about losing the battle of cancer. And I've, people who are in remission, who have beat cancer, and they've often said, well, I don't see it that way, Lester. I don't want to see my body as being as a battleground or a war with myself.
I'm in total agreement on that. My husband also has an issue with that word survivor, you know. You completed the journey and, you know, you're alive and you're grateful for that. And, you know, you're never in remission because you regularly have to go for checkups, you know, and when you go for your yearly checkup, you know, the fear is there. It might come back. So that's real, but you learn to deal with it, you know. So, yeah.
Let's go back to, and you said, and you if you have medical insurance, the sonograms, you know, come as a benefit of that. But what if you're not? What if you feel something odd, but you don't know how to diagnose it yourself? You don't want to take the effort, or you simply can't, or you weigh up the options of whether you must go stand in a queue in a public facility. That is obviously very dangerous.
Yes, I would... you know, advise that person, you know, speak to your friend, let her get to encourage you or to accompany you to the day hospital. It always helps when you have, you know, someone with you for support. And I must say, Groote Hospital as a oncology unit, amazing service and treatment that they offer to the patients. So yes, they don't have to be anxious about it. The, you know, the service is good there and they are followed up immediately.
We talk about your experiences as someone who survived a journey with cancer. So it's largely from the perspective of women and your breast cancer. Men, of course, have their own individualized cancers, testes, prostate. And we know generally in South Africa, men are horrible when it comes to preventative healthcare in general. General lifestyle diseases, the sugar, the diabetes. Men put these things off till the very, very last.
And yet, there is a lot of men that are diagnosed with breast cancer. They do find it difficult to talk about it. They often say they had cancer of the chest area.
021-446-0567. Drop me a WhatsApp. 072-567-1567. We're speaking to Abida Steenkamp. She is a community service coordinator with the Cancer Association of South Africa. We're talking about early cancer detection, but particularly from the point of view of people who rely on public healthcare. They don't have the benefit of medical aids. They don't have the free yearly checkups with the GP as part of a medical insurance package. And so therefore they rely on a community-based healthcare. And what then happens if, as South Africans, we are generally not good with preventative healthcare? And what happens when we put off, and then at the very, very late stage, a cancer diagnosis? We have a voice note, 072-567-1567.
Good morning, Lester. Clinton here, Para West. Based on what the lady just said now, that we always hesitate at a Carl Bremer, I'm referring to the males, where it comes to prostate cancer. It is there for the taking. It is there for the taking. You just need to report there. You go at the gate and ask where's the men's health clinic. It will be there at the back. You can phone and make a booking. But I came there, it was empty, Lester. Why? Because no one wishes to come, like the lady just indicated. They know there's something wrong, but they wait till the last minute, and then they decide, no, listen, oh, and then it might just be too late. So it's there, free. Owens. Come on, guys, go there. They take your HIV, TB, the whole shebang, and it's there, free. Come on, we can come from Durbanville, we can come from Pitson of Water. It's there for us to just attend there and let the doctor see and attend to you. I know I'm working myself up here. I thank you very much, Lester Clinton, Para West.
Appreciate it, Clinton. Are we prideful or are we stubborn? The facilities are there, and a lot of people are saying what you said, courtesy oncology units, absolutely great as part of a public healthcare system. But particularly when it comes to preventative healthcare, are we full with pride? Are we stubborn, or do we simply just want to ignore what could be a not good diagnosis, and therefore if we ignore it, we somehow believe it will just go away, Abida?
Yes, to some extent, and also financial constraints. Mm. You know, very often you put it off because you have to work, you know, it's not a priority. You know, I'll go next month, and it goes from month to month. And eventually, you know, when you do actually go to the doctor, you know, you get referred immediately and you get, you know, diagnosed as stage four, and suddenly your world crumbles within. But cancer is there. You know, the Cancer Association offers support counseling, Facebook, telecounseling. Just reach out to us.
The Cancer Association of South Africa also has a voucher program where you can buy a voucher for and gift someone a voucher for a screening. Tell us some more of that.
Yeah, we used to have that. Mm. We don't, unfortunately. But, you know, they can still book, phone their nearest cancer office and book an appointment. Mm. But regarding what the gentleman said, you know, there are requests from churches and communities to invite a male cancer survivor to talk about prostate cancer. And, you know, when you phone them, they just say, no, I'm not comfortable to talk about it.
Really?
Yes.
Why not?
I don't know. Women, you know, easily talk about it. They love to inspire others and give back. But men, it's almost like, I don't want anybody to know I've been on the journey.
Because we are told as men, you must suffer silently.
Doesn't have to be.
You must suffer silently, and if you're sick, yes, you can groan and moan on the couch, but once I step outside of my home, I must be a strong South African man. I mustn't show that I have weakness, and maybe that is one of the reasons.
I think cultural restrictions also to some extent, because often the wife reaches out to us, then the husband says, no, I'm not comfortable talking to a woman, you know. Yes, strange as it might seem.
There's also the myth of the prostate exam. Many men still probably feel of the physical examination, but there are other tests
absolutely
that are available.
Yes, certainly. Mm. They don't need to be scared or shy about it, you know. And, I mean, they go in a private room and they do the specimen, urine specimen also. So, yes, there are many ways to detect whether there is prostate. And especially if you have a genetic history of cancer within the family, be it breast, you know, or any other type of cancer. But please, please, early detection saves lives.
I think I've just been privileged to, you know, as I've said, cancer has affected almost every single family. So there's an awareness.
Yes.
Particularly in my family. Secondly, I've been exposed to the material. I've been exposed to the education programs. I'm a 37-year-old man who now, when I take a shower, I make sure that as I'm washing and scrubbing, I pause for a moment to check and to self-examine regularly. But that has come from years and years of being taught the material and in the education material. Should we not start cancer education from a very, very young age? Like when we are teaching children how to brush their teeth.
Absolutely.
Should we also not be doing, okay, this is also how you monitor and you check, and this is what
a healthy body
feels like.
True.
And should we not be starting then, instead of at the age of 30, then tell men, now the time that you should be learning about.
We actually do go out to schools, primary schools, and educate children about it. So, yes, you know, there is education out there. Some children will take the message home, others not, you know. And often when we have these talks at school, we often invite the parents to come along, you know. But obviously, most of the parents are at work in your poorer rural communities. So you won't have that opportunity, but we go out to the corporate companies, to the factories also, where we educate. So there's lots of outreach programs.
Abhi is a messenger that says, "Hi, Lester, I know a lot of retired nurses, older nurses, people who have worked in the medical industry, and they also have a sort of feeling of, oh, I simply don't want to know." Is that something that you've come across, according to this listener?
Yes, actually, I did come across someone that she knew there was something wrong, but she didn't want to go and seek medical help. And eventually, when she did, she was diagnosed as stage 4 lung cancer. And she said, the hospital said no treatment available. And she said, I'm okay with that. I'm ready to die. I don't want morphine. I don't want anything. And that was it. It was shocking for children to deal with that, you know, but that was her decision. And we don't have the right to say, you know, you need to take morphine because you are having excruciating pain. That's her choice.
What I gauge from our response here and the many WhatsApps and the voice notes that have come through is that people are largely responsive to the message. The message of self-screening, the message of sharing education. And it's really, really positive of what's coming through on our comment line. I just wonder, how does it translate and how do we translate that on a almost home-by-home, street-for-street education campaign, particularly people who have to make that decision. Do I stand in a queue at a clinic today to get tested? Do I, you know, give up work for today and give up a day's wages for something that may just be absolutely, completely normal? How do we normalize this conversation? As soon as you suspect something may not be 100%, please seek some advice and attention.
Just go to your clinic, make sure you're there quite early, because, I mean, you can be out of there by 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock and go back to work, and they can provide you with a letter to say you attended the clinic, you know. But the minute you feel, your body talks to you. So the minute you feel there's something wrong, go and have yourself checked out. For example, if you see your one breast is, you know, bigger than the other one, or you see you have a nipple discharged, or you feel something, you know, go and check yourself out once again.
I mean, COVID really did a number on us. A lot of preventative healthcare went unchecked. Healthcare issues went unchecked when...
That's true.
All our hospitals became simply COVID hospitals. The checkups, the cataracts procedures, the mammograms all had to be delayed. What impact do you think that has had on the culture of self-monitoring, self-screening, and going to a medical professional if you have a concern?
Yeah, we actually did a lot of reach out during that time, via Zoom, via Instagram, all of that. And I continued with providing support groups, in open settings, because people were scared, what if I don't get seen? I had a follow-up appointment and now it's been cancelled and it's rescheduled for 6 months down the line, and they just needed to know that, one day at a time, it's going to be okay. We're going to try and help you to get your appointment again. So, yeah.
Abida Steenkamp, thank you so much for joining us. Repeat that number again for self-detection. Firstly, to educate about self-detection with men and women, but also for having that access to screenings and medical attention.
Sure. Our toll-free number is 0800 22 66 22.
Abida Steenkamp, thank you so much.
It's a pleasure.
Really appreciate your time here on The Morning Review.
Thanks. Bye.